The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everybody to March's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. That's right, March. We're nearly at the end. I know. Anyway, round the table, we're joined here at the Heaton Hop, back at the Heaton Hop in Heaton, Mersey, Chapel, Reddish, in South Manchester, with... I know, isn't it? Oh, someone's house valuation just dropped. Anyway, round the table, we're joined by the great and good of the non-league community. We've got Roy Sewell, Mr. Non-League himself.
Good evening, folks.
We've got James Hayes, Mr. NPL Facebook group himself.
Evening.
Aaron Flanagan, Mr. Mirror himself from the Trinity Mirror.
All right.
We've got Andrew Simpson, who's Mr. Mid Cheshire.
Hello.
We've got Ian Burke, who's just plain old Mr. Manchester.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us down the line from Shanghai, we're also joined by Swamper. Hello, Swamper.
Hello, Ben. I can hear you. How's it going down the hop? Hop, by the way, it's in Ancient Chapel.
Well, anyway.
And you live in Burnage.
Just to let you know, you're not getting another two cans of Vimto next time. That's it. That was your leaving present last month.
Just good point, well made.
Thank you.
I didn't even drink them.
Well, welcome anyway, Swampy.
You're
more than welcome.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you.
So, Blythe Spartans are still on top, but is it just a matter of time before Darlington swallow them up? Who wants to go first and commit?
I think I'll go first, Ben, because I've been an advocate of Blythe Spartans from the very beginning of the season, as indeed I was last year. It would be very remiss of me now to say that they're not going to win the league, as I have all season been saying that. Darlington are very, very close. However, I've got to stick with the team I believed in at the very beginning, and I still think there's a few twists and turns. Yes, they've got three games. The points can take them above Blythe Spartans, but at the same time, I think Darlington can maybe drop a couple of points. I think what Blythe have done is they've had their blip. They, if you remember last month, they were about to hit the highest points they've ever had, their points total they've ever had. It would have been 81 points, around 78 points, weren't they? And it took them three games to get over it. Mm. They kept getting beaten, thinking, goodness gracious, I was personally going, I can't believe it. I've condemned them, I've doomed them. They're over that now, they're on 87 points now. I still believe that they're going to win the league. They've got the quality to do so, but let's not forget Darlington have few games and are very, very good, and great quality as well.
The thing with Darlington as well is, though, they don't have much time to play their games. I saw something posted the other day that I think they play Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, twice until the end of the season, and that's with midweek games and the other midweeks. Like
that was to do with the Whitby postponement on Mondays.
9 games in 21 days.
Ooh. Yeah,
if
well,
you don't have any more postponements.
In all fairness, though, I mean, I remember going back, and I go, we don't speak about FC often on this programme anymore, but many years ago, FC United played, I think, about 12 games in about 19 days. I mean, we camped ourselves on the M62, basically, you know, that farm. Oh, I feel like the man who's got the farm in the middle of the M62. That's what we were like, basically. But we achieved it, and sometimes players quite like that. Bang, 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 game. They don't get to think about injuries. They don't get a chance to think about, oh, I'm feeling a bit tired and lethargic. Darlington are a big football club, and they are on a roll, and therefore they'll be looking forward to it. I think players will look forward to it. Fans will be looking forward to it as well.
Little thing with Darlington, think about the distance that some of their players are travelling. You know, Darlington recruit from afar. You know, these are players who are now, well, look at Lee Gaskell, obviously. I'm sure he's the furthest one. Nathan Cartman's not close. I know he's Yorkshire-based, but he's still not close there. Their top players are having to travel long distances, you know, for a hell of a lot of games in a shorter time, you know.
But no, they're not.
Are they going to burn out?
They're not. I tell you for why, because what happens, and you know, from a Curzon perspective, I know you've always predominantly had players in the local area. But I mean, FC United at this moment in time, as a football club, have got players that are in Yorkshire. They meet up halfway down the motorway, you know. So at this stage of the season, training, in reality, if you're right at the top of the division,
you're just replacing training for a match, aren't you?
Yeah. So therefore, the training doesn't take place. They meet up halfway down. You're not going to have that problem with the travelling situation. They're going to meet up, they're going to be in specific areas where they can just turn up at the ground and therefore play the game of football. Ordinarily, yes, I can understand where you're coming from, but from a club like Darlington with players all over the place, that does meet up where they need to.
I mean, I'm not seeing Darlington's fixtures, but I mean, the point that we make, obviously, the Whitby game's called off. Whitby's a long way for a lot of them to travel. I'm assuming at least half of them games are probably at home, because the pitch has never been great. there, you know, so I'm assuming that's where a few of the postponements come from.
But
it's going to be a real problem for them, surely, isn't it?
Go on.
I think it's a massive ask for Darlow as well, because they've spent so much to get where they are. They've won seven straight, but they've put a lot into that run to get just within touching distance of Blyth. I've had a look at Blyth's running this afternoon. It's quite soft. They should at least win five, probably all of the games left. So Darlington have to assume that Blyth, I don't think, are going to drop any more points as well. Darlington's running is not too bad. They're only playing three teams that are currently in the top 10, so it's not bad. But they have got a number of games against teams who are live in the relegation battle, so they're not going to get many gimmies in this run either.
Now, Swampy, I admire you turning to Dolly Parton and standing by your team. But the thing is...
How long did it take to write that?
I just come up with this card.
You thought he was a bit quiet, that's why.
That's what he was doing.
But the thing is, Darlington, they've got a very deep squad there. They've got a lot of players that they can use in rotation, stop legs getting tired. And as you said before, you know, once they get into that rhythm as well, they're going to be flying. I don't see them having a problem. Darlington, they've got to play against, in the bottom bunch, they've got Whitby and Stamford. They should steamroll them. I know they're fighting for their lives down there, but they've got the quality to beat them, no problem at all. They should beat them. I can see them winning 7-8 of these last games, maybe drawing a couple, and I think they'll pip down. I think they'll pip Blyth to it.
Blyth, they took full advantage this week of Darlington not playing on Bank Holiday Monday, and we said they've got an easy-ish run in.
Easier.
Playing Workington and beating them by 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw that Robbie Dale goal as well.
I think there's a little bit of a perception that Blyth have dropped off, which is why Dale have reeled them in. It's not strictly true. They've still won most of the... five of the past eight, I think they won. It's just that the two games lost back-to-back were against Sutton and Hales Own, which was a bit weird. No one will expect them. But in a slightly longer timeline, it's not that they've hit a really bad run of form. They had those back-to-back defeats, but they've actually kept winning. It's just more Dale have been this machine, haven't they? You know, picking up points.
They've been like Stevenson's rocket.
There you go.
Someone
set you up there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This side of the table has been very quiet. Roy, I know you've been sitting there waiting to get an internet connection, but...
Turn it off and on again.
I mean, we mentioned the travelling aspect last time and how you just make sure that the players just stay in the locality if a match gets postponed. But would you be worried about how many games Darlington have got to play?
I've listened to what the... Well, the pundits have said.
Experts.
I agree with the majority of all of them. They all have a point of issue. Once you get on a roll with your football team, doesn't matter how many games you've got, you always look to the last game, and the ones in between just fly away. What I would say is that because they've got so many games in a short period of time, my feelings are that if they had a poor result, just how that would actually react with them, and you know, now they'd come back on that, because people have said that, you know, they've got a fairly deep squad. You can rotate, but it also affects your balance and your blend of your team when you have too many rotations, especially ones that you don't really require or wish to have at that moment in time. So I think my personal feelings are, I think they will have a little blip, and I feel that Blyth will end up marginal winners of the league.
They've had their blip, haven't they?
Yeah, and they've got over it and come through it. And, you know, like it's been mentioned, they've got an easier running.
As a manager, who would you rather be in charge of now for the running?
I'd go with Blyth, because not only... their experience is there. You know, they've got through the blip. I think they can handle the pressure. I'm not saying that they could handle it any better or whatever, but they've actually been in that situation before, you know, with the cup runs and things like that. And the management is pretty level-headed. And, you know, they're pretty square in how they actually apply things.
Do you fear now for whoever out of them two doesn't win it? Not winning the playoffs.
Well, that was going to be my next question, Sim.
I'm sorry.
He's a good journalist.
He's a good journalist.
Great minds.
I noticed that Flanagan didn't ask that question.
No, what? Say essentialism from him.
We were in
the next month.
Proper stuff from him.
The next monthly show we're going to do is going to be from on the night of the dudes in the final.
Really?
Yeah, why not? And at that point, we should know who's in the final of the playoffs. And that's a good point Simo's just made there. The team who often finishes second often doesn't really have the momentum. Roy, coming back to you from a managerial point of view, would you be worried about the team, especially if it's a close title race, who were just pipped to the post like FC United was a couple of seasons ago?
I think they've actually been in this situation before, have they not? When did they play Ramsbottom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they, they come off second best there. But my feelings are that the management team there is maybe a little bit experienced now, as regards non-league levels, not just the football league level, but non-league level. And my feelings are that I can't see Lightning striking twice. I think they'll be up for it. Whichever team ends up in the playoffs, those top two will go up.
I don't know. I think this is the strongest the playoffs will have ever been in this division. I really do. Darlington or Blythe, Salford, Ashton, and probably I think Stourbridge. I do think Workington will drop out. I'm
going
to maintain.
Even if
Workington do stay in there up, I still think it's going to be the strongest top five that this division's had possibly ever. There, they're really well matched sides, and I think it's going to be fantastic.
Can I just quickly go back to the initial point?
Just want to go back to the point. Wow!
I can't cope with this.
A tabloid one at that as well.
No, the initial point was, did the team who finished second, burnout? And obviously, we had it with Curzon against Witten a few years back where.
You got wellied in that final.
No, yeah. We did, but we knew we were going to get wellied. And I know that doesn't sound very optimistic, but I don't think anybody at the club believed we were going into that final winning.
It's a credit because we got to the final. When FC did it and we finished, we were just picked by Charlie.
Yeah.
We didn't even, Ashton United turned up and you could tell in the crowd no one was up for that game at all in the semi-final.
It was so flat. I've seen that night. It was weird.
It was weird because literally it was 6 days before that playoff semi-final where we lost the league to Fylde, and we were so downbeat because we were top for the whole season, and you could just tell in the whole camp you couldn't motivate the players. Like, we've missed it, and we scraped through past quite a poor Garforth team on penalties in the semi-final. Yeah, we got hammered in the final. It was three, and it maybe should have been more. And we really did feel the effects of finishing second.
The windiest day ever.
James, get in there. Get in.
That was last season as well. Look at the playoffs last year. Both home sides knocked out in the semi-finals. Mm-hmm. Workington ran after Park at Ilkeston, and that's Mr. Flanagan would like to point out there as well. That night at Ashton United, both. Let's be honest, most of us were there.
Well, I commented on the playoff final, it was Curzon versus Ilkeston, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was a very even contest. Curzon had a little bit more gusto about them, and that's what got them over the line. The best footballing team last season by a country mile was Ilkeston. No question about it. This season, well, we know the way they've change things at the football club, but it was testament to the way that Flanner's father set his team and made sure that because he was up against, let's not forget, he's up against a man that played for Nottingham Forest, a man that was involved with some great footballing sort of like storylines, and they played some very good football. But he just showed that night that one team had a little bit more about them. So you can never really. I think it's a lottery when it comes to playoffs now.
It's not a lottery. It's not a lottery. You don't win the lottery, Swampy, by having nerves of steel. You win the lottery by being dead jammy. When you in the playoffs, you've got to go in there. You've got to have your game face on. You've got to be set for it, and you've got to go out there and want to win it properly. You can't just go in there. It's a lottery. This, you're going to lose.
Of course, it's a lottery. If a team goes in and says, we're going to pass the ball, we're going to do what we've done all season, are they going to lose the playoffs just because they're a passing team? They may be a bit nice. You have to be Roy, as a manager, if you're in a playoff, would you tell your team to up your game intensity wise?
Like I said, it's a cup game, it's a one off, and in that cup game, that one off, anybody can beat anybody. And it's all about
it's not a lottery.
It's all about attitude of mind and wanting to succeed. So you pump your players up accordingly to get the maximum out of them, over that 90-minute period. And hopefully, things, fortune, little offside decisions go for you. And I usually find that the one that's working the hardest will get the benefit of the doubt.
So, just moving down slightly, to Salford City. And are we ruled Salford City out making a last minute push for the title?
We have been, but I have to say, and I know, and you and I were at a game earlier this morning.
I thought you were going to credit me for that interview. It'd be Jono, but okay.
Fine. Hold on, you decided to interview him when they won. Wow, well done, Ben. Great journalism. You chose the three games beforehand, not even to get anywhere near him, but on a game. But I want to talk about that game because myself and Ben went to watch Salford versus Workington. And I've got to say, of all the games of the season, in the Conference North, in the Conference, in the Football League, or indeed
that was brilliant.
In the Northern Premier Division, it was the best game of football I have seen for a long time. The quality of the passing, the speed of the game, the commitment from both sets of players,
the curry sauce,
Ben, after 5 minutes of looking at the recipe saying, yes, it is vegan. And there was a generator at the sound of it, so it sounded like it was at a fairground attraction. And indeed, Ben, when we walked in, we said, what? When we walked into the ground? Hi, it's... well, go on, Ben.
It's Ben and Swamper. We're on the press list. Oh, Swampy's here! Swampy's here!
And Ben.
Anyway,
now I thought that was because they wanted to lynch me because basically the things I've been saying about Salford, but in a nice way. But seriously, that game for me showed the quality of the division below. Salford were absolutely superb, as were Workington after coming off the. Couple of poor results, but then what was interesting about that game was they went to Skemda on Saturday and got beat 3-1. So that's what I'm quite sure about the game results.
About Salford, though. On the occasion, Salford really do rise to it, and that's been consistent with John O'Burner's team throughout the years as well, going back to Ramy as well, beating Darlington in the playoffs, beating Bamber Bridge in the playoff final as well. And that's what, assuming they qualify for the playoffs, I think that's going to see them through it.
They're in the playoffs. There's no question about that. They're in the playoffs. There's no question about it. They're a very, very good team.
Get in there, Simo. Get in there.
And an enjoyable team to watch. The point of making, they're a great team to watch. And Workington were as well. There was some great football that night.
We'll come to Workington in a minute.
Just really quickly, I'm going to take the credit for that because I said in the last podcast, Salford's record against everybody else in the top five was awful. And after that podcast, they beat Workington at home and Ashton United at home. So no worries, lads.
Salford's last five games, though, and
they've got a tough run in. That is really tough.
The toughest of
them.
But it's not the toughest.
They're snug, aren't they? They're snug in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now then, below that is Ashton United currently in fourth.
Yes.
And obviously they've got Craiglin Field in now and Brownhill and a couple of other players.
I think he was injured at half time against Ide on Monday.
But are Ashton in now?
Not necessarily. I think they should be. They've got 5-point cushion down to Stourbridge, but the thing is they've got to play the three teams immediately around them. They've got to play Salford, they've got to play Workington, they've got to play Stourbridge. One of the things though about Ashton United this year though, they've been in the playoffs the last two seasons, but I honestly, hand on heart, think they've got their strongest squad that they've ever had. Maybe not going back to Hurst in the 1800s, but
last three signings have been quality. They've added a lot of strength in the right areas, and if I'm not mistaken, two of them have actually scored winning goals, have they not, in the last couple of games? So, you know, I think the big centre forward, you know, James Dean, I think his quality as regards, he'll tie two centre backs up, not just one.
And he worked the full backs for you as well.
And when you've got young killer running here, there, and everywhere into the channels and into the gaps, you know, that he'll create, there's an opportunity, you know, for them to score goals. I think the three signings have been of a quality blend for the team.
They've been very efficient.
I think it's been absolutely top draw for them. They've got like, you know, the likes of Browner there with the experience. They've got Linney in there, an attacking wide player that cuts inside. He's got a great shot at him. You've got James Dean, which again, you know, they've got Pilkington there. I mean, it's a team that have got an abundance of quality, and what they've got as well, they've got masses of pace all over that football pitch. I think Ashton really, we discussed about them last month. They've not come out of anywhere. We all expected, but then them three additional signings. That is a team that you're thinking in a playoff final. They're a team that are on the up because they've come from below all the way through. They've got some big games to come up against, and I think that you say Salford City. You said Berkey. You said play Salford. Got to play Salford City yet? Did you say
they've got to play Salford, Workington, and Stourbridge.
But I think out of those two games, I mean the one team to fear out of those three games for me personally is Stourbridge.
Yeah. Pretty much going forward, they've got the best form going from last month as well. Out of 7 out of 8 results unbeaten. I think the only loss there was Salford away, but even then, the second game against them got called off. Looking forward to that. If they struggle against Stourbridge and Salford, I think Darlington will be scared to have them coming up there on the playoffs. And let's be honest, it is very, very possible for Workington and Stourbridge to knock them out of the fifth spot.
Did they not?
No one would want to be like playing them home.
Did they not beat Stourbridge down at Stourbridge recently?
Yeah, they did.
2-1.
Yeah.
2-1, yeah, that's
really good. So, they've got a little bit of an Indian sign on as regards that, and they'll be up for it, as regards making the home advantage count.
Last point on Ashton.
Some people saying that they've got pace all over the pitch, and it's not strictly true because they're quite elderly at the back, really. They've got a very experienced back line, but there's not a lot of pace there, and I think that a swift attacking team
pace
can get around. Yeah, there's pace in the
rain. You're going to have to really kick a ball to make it travel at Hurst Cross for a through ball, aren't you? Anyway,
depends if the wind's behind.
That's true. Then there's Workington and Stourbridge. I'm assuming now at the end of March that's the last place covered between them two. You don't think Barwell or Nantwich are going to do it?
Nantwich have got a squeak, I think.
A squeak of a chance. Well, we'll come to your squeak in a second or two. You've written them off already, haven't you? So just a quick mention then for... Let's include Nantwich in this chat then. Stourbridge, Workington or Nantwich for that final place, excluding Barwell and Frick Athletic, my pick. Go on. Anyone?
Stourbridge.
The reason I say Nantwich is they've got to play four teams above them in this run, so they can take points off people they need to catch.
I'd say that they're not going to go up.
Because they can't win them all then.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they've got a chance.
A squeak.
It's a squeak.
Yeah.
And they've got to play Hyde.
So that's 3 points.
Stourbridge or Workington or Frick Athletic or Buxton.
I've been advocating Stourbridge from the very beginning of the season, and although I talked about Workington being strong enough to actually stay in that playoff position, I've got a feeling that Stourbridge will, because I thought Stourbridge were the team. I didn't expect Ashton to do what they've done. In all fairness, but with those three signings, they've just gone all the way through. So I'm just going to still stay Stourbridge.
Really, really tight between them. Instincts probably say Workington. Stourbridge play Salford on the last game of the season. That might be a good thing for Stourbridge in a way, because Salford should already be in the playoffs. They hopefully will be resting up for the playoffs. Comes to the last day, it might swing in Stourbridge.
Not necessarily, Aaron. I mean, it could be that they need a win to make sure the place in third.
Home
I
advantage,
assume
nobody
third. Yeah, exactly. Home advantage in the semis.
Possibly, but I don't know. It's close. It'll come to the end. Instincts say Workington.
Stourbridge are the most out of form, by the way.
They are massively.
This is a big problem.
Looking at their games, they've got to go have Whitby at home yet as well. Now Whitby, it's not the relegation bit. They're unpredictable at the moment.
Picking points,
exactly.
I dare say it'll come to that in the third part.
No, second part. Second relegation part. Is second part.
And even if Stourbridge don't, they've been a lovely team to watch.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, lovely. Well done.
James,
was that you saying Whitby are going to do it?
No.
No?
I think Workington are just going to edge it. Looking at the runnings, Nantwich, I think the cup runs got to him a little bit. The last couple of results haven't necessarily.
The one thing, though, seriously, Ben, I would suggest that Stourbridge, if they don't make it next season, will be title
definitely. Yeah.
Odds on.
Roy, last month you were talking about Workington and just the know-how they have as a club and as a team. Still stand by that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and I also will double up that with the fact that whoever has to travel up there has to have a fair journey. You know, so again, like I said about the Whitby Town scenario, I think the home games will be important for them. One of them is against Nantwich, so one way or the other, you know, one could put a spanner in the works against each other in that game.
Very quick question to you, Roy. You've got a team like Workington, huge amount of travelling, a team like Whitby, huge lot of travelling, one's bottom four, one's top four.
Well, you could say Darlington and Blyth have a lot of travelling to do.
There was a specific point there, Ben.
But then the financial clout clicks in then.
Right, okay.
It's a nicer coach. So that is the end of part. Unless anyone's got anything to say about Barwell coming in late or Rushall. Apologies. That is the end of part one. Coming up next, going to be discussing relegation.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to part two of the EvoStick NPL show for March.
Come on, Sutton!
Recorded here at the Heat and Hop in South Manchester, somewhere not far from...
Ben, Stockport. Can we just say we're actually...
Plug it properly, come on, Swamp.
We are in Stockport.
We actually are in Stockport, it's Heat and Hop, it's on School Lane,
It's the City Life of the Year.
It's nice, but that's why there's a slight echo down here. And
we do like the magnet, don't forget.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We love the magnet, we were back there at some stage.
We're in the cellar, that's why you can hear the odd clicking noise and buzzing.
That's
and that
just
kind
Roy's
of thing.
Hips.
So, welcome back to the show anyway, and it's now time to discuss relegation. And elephant in the room, Ramsbottom surely are going to have that R in brackets sooner rather than later next to the name, aren't they?
3 games away from it and signing Rackley for a place, so it just says a lot, really.
I actually think they'll have a decent go at it next season. I don't think there's any doubt about
right,
it that quick, they're going to drop.
Quick question to you that's just popped into my head. Okay. We mentioned, you know, the title race and how it can knock the stuffing out of you when you go into the playoffs, when you just miss out. Mm. Relegated earlier, is that beneficial for the next season?
Good question.
Thank you.
See this? It's inside of the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Exactly. There you are.
Go on.
To be honest, I mean, you certainly know where you stand as a manager and as a coach. Whether or not you can entice the players to take your enthusiasm on, you know, to want to bounce back is another thing.
Does it also help if you've got a manager who's come in late in the day, really, and I think... Gary Vaughan would have. Yeah, they are. But you'd think Gary Vaughan was expecting to be in the back of his mind, be in Division 1 North next season. So he's capable of attracting.
He'll be cutting his cloth accordingly. And also, I mean, they beat us in the playoffs, you know, to actually get up into the Premier, you know.
But Vaughan is a good manager.
He is, yeah.
And he's got an enthusiasm about football, plays it in the right manner. We saw that at Trafford, he played in the right manner, in the right way. He's got a. And if you can attract certain players for next season, it's a division that they know well from a club perspective, not from Vardy that necessarily, but from a club perspective. But Vardy will attract them. They'll be a strong contender for next season. But they're definitely down. There's no question about it.
Good.
Well, one thing that does work for Ramsbottom, in Harry Williams, obviously the chairman, he's very loyal. I don't think he's actually sacked any of his managers probably ever. You know, so I think Vardy can probably know that he's in a comfortable position. The only doubt I have is obviously, you know, that they've never been a team to splash the cash. They probably won't do it to try and win a league next year.
No, they won't do.
So that's Ramsbottom United. Slightly higher than that is Colwyn Bay. Colwyn Bay are weird, aren't they? Every time I've looked at the results, they've won.
Colwyn Bay are going to decide which 3 teams are going to go down this year. They've got to play pretty much all the bottom 6, and in some cases, like Ram, they've got to play Rami twice, Mikulova on Thursday. Well, they've played Mikulova once it comes out.
I don't mean to go back to Roy again, but if you have a change of manager at this point in the season, it's not looking good, is it?
No, it's not, especially when your signing on date has gone as well. That doesn't help you on very much, you know, so you're stuck with what you've got. But I think Colwyn are there, you know, for a reason, and the reason is over the season they've been very inconsistent in their results and the performances, and me personally, I can't see there being a great change in that anyway, you know, and they may put a spluttered little bit of resistance up, you know, because when a new manager comes in you tend to get that, but I don't think a season's long results and performances will change there.
Ben, I think that Colwyn Bate have got a fighting chance here. You know, with them changing the manager, it can give players a little bit of new spark, bit of impetus, playing for the place next season, all that kind of caper. However, they are playing all the teams around them, and all right, they're going to have a big say in who goes down, but they can have a massive say in whether they stay up. And all right, the 9 points off safety, but you know, you win a couple of games, and all of a sudden you're right back in it. And I've just got this sneaky feeling that Colwyn Bay might just do it. Hi, Damien.
Hello. Hello. Sorry, there's a barrel changing taking place. This is the downside to
Park Avenue barrel change as well.
Absolutely.
Hey. Oh yeah.
Strangling yourself on a wire.
If you'd like to see a photograph of one of our pundits with the Bradford Park Avenue mascot, have a look on Twitter. Just type in.
Not you, Damien. You're okay.
So, Colwyn Bay, Stamford. For the last couple of months, Stamford have been, well, clearing away, and now they're back in it again. And
it's okay, Ben. It's okay. They'll be okay.
They'll be okay.
Tell us for why.
Well, tell us for why. I'll tell you for why. Because there's one team that are going down this season, and it pains me to say it as a member of that football club, and it does pain me to say it, Ben. But Hyde are going down.
Stamford, they've got rid of that they can't win at home.
Yeah.
Chain round the neck. Now,
can you call it a hoodoo?
Even though they lost last week.
I can call it a hoodoo if you like. Now, Stamford, can they do it? Can they stay up?
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
I was only jesting with the young.
The manager. The manager seems very focused on each game as it happens, and you saw that with.
Every manager is focused. Yeah, on but every Blythe, game as it happens.
Blythe only beat them by 1-0.
They lost nearly every game.
Yeah, but that's 3 points they lost. So
yeah, it's 3 points they lost, but probably in a game that they weren't expecting points.
I think Stamford have been up and down all season. Last season, we saw what they were last season. Now, can they get out of it? They play 39 games. They've got, you know, they've conceded 90 goals. That's one of the worst. I think it's the worst.
Where they were bobbing.
It doesn't matter. They've conceded 90 goals. That's the point of making.
It was the very start of the season.
They conceded 60 in September.
What's the point of you saying
this?
Well,
they've tightened up a lot since then.
You can't compare the Stamford side of 6 months ago with the Stamford side of now.
I can. They're still in the bottom four.
Oh yeah, but they've got the same name.
You know what I'm saying? The point of making a minus 29 goal difference doesn't help. Now, no. Colwyn Bay, we know, are doomed. They're minus 38. Ramsbottom minus 60. But the thing is, Whitby Town, Micklover, and even Hyde United are only minus 22, minus 21. And minus 29 for Stamford is a big thing. And that's the problem that could maybe be for them.
I don't think they can get out of it. I agree with Swampy, 90 goals against. And minus 29 goal difference, that is why they can't get out.
3 points higher is Whitby Town. Now, everyone around this table waxes lyrical about, you know, their love for Whitby Town. They're 2 points from Micklover Sports. Micklover Sports last month, where everyone's nailed on for relegation, they're no longer in the relegation zone.
They've had a spurt,
yes.
There is something actually, you know, there's something that will help Whitby Town, in fairness. That was very good, by the way, boys. Very, very good. But there is something that will help Whitby Town that other clubs don't have. They've got 3 or 4 games during Goth weekend. And believe you me, any team.
There's just an atmosphere around the place, isn't there?
There is.
Gets you down. And
before
and
you
heavy.
Know it, yeah. Before you know it, they're playing the cure are there. And they're all, you know.
So we've got teams.
Sisters of Mercy.
They're all there going, you know.
Wait.
Kate Bush is there. Wuthering Heights.
Wait. Yeah. We've got teams down there like Colwyn Bay, like Stamford, like Whitby Town, like Micklover Sports, who've all gone on mini runs in the last 3 months. And Roy made the point last month that form is form, and you know those teams down that neck end, they always go back to default at some point, and that appears to have happened. But in the month of April, they're more than capable of doing it again, and a team dropping like a stone at the moment.
Well, stone of the
ball. And at that point, Birke.
Yeah, Ben, what were you going to ask?
I'm just going to ask about Hyde United.
All
I
right.
mean, this is the closest they've been to the relegation zone now. 3 points.
He's taking the microphone
now, okay.
All right. Okay. Can I just turn this on there? Berkey, how does it feel as a Hyde fan to know that you've got a month of the season left and you're not already down?
It's amazing, actually. Well, this is the thing. The last two seasons had been beyond dreadful. They really have. And we've been relegated before Easter. This season, at least we're putting up a bit of a fight. You go back to September, Hyde was sort of threatening the playoffs, but it's a long, long time ago. A lot of big players have gone for the club, and now we're down basically to the kids. We've got Scott Spencer up front, who's not fit at the moment. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. You've got... who's the oldest player? Andy Pearson. He's 25, 26 years old. Then you've got James Burt, the captain, 21. And then underneath that, they're all teenagers.
When I asked you two shows ago, are you worried? You went, I am worried. And you did a really sober talk. And I actually felt guilty the next night for actually asking you that question.
No, but I was right to be worried, weren't I? The thing is, last month I came on the show, I was in much higher spirits. We'd just beaten Buxton, of course, and Whitby. And I thought that Hyde's home... can't say home farm, but Hyde's home coming up home games. At that stage, we had 8 home games, 3 away games to play, and now these home games are getting whittled away very, very slowly. And it's, I don't know, I still think I can get out of it, I do, but there's an air of almost inevitability around Ewan Fields at the moment where people just think it's going to happen. Yeah,
so the interview I did with
Pete Ainger,
it was him, and there was kind of like a feeling that if you just finished in mid-table, it would be a good season. I think it's the name that everyone thought, oh, Hyde United will do well this year. But there was a kind of feeling that, actually, Ben, probably not.
I mean, I've seen Hyde enough this season to know that there should be a mid-table team. There's no question about it. They've had the players. They've got some of the personnel behind the scenes. It's a great run. It has been a great run football club. They've had a number of problems in the last few years. They're a fan-owned football club that are going, striving down towards that. I'm a member of it, you know, and Berkey is, and 26-0. I mean, it's a football club that resonates with, you know, with people around the world. Again, it is one of those football clubs that everyone knows about.
Because of the 26-0.
Well, no, no.
Not because of 26-0. On match day. Yeah. 26-0.
But it's not necessarily that, Berkey. It's because Hyde is a name. It's a well-known... It's a title, lovely football ground. It's a name synonymous in semi-pro football. I think Hyde to go down this year would be a travesty, because it really, really, as a football club, should be nowhere near where it is now. Now, they've gone up the ranks over the years, but now where they are, if they go down, there needs to be a massive change in personnel.
Just a point from Aaron, and then I've got a question for Simo, and then I'll come to you.
It's more of an open question, but we'll keep it. But if Hyde do go down again, how can Hyde come back in? Because two was bad enough. The fact that Hyde United, you know, this great team, you know, we've always played at like the top of non-league, is in the third tier. You know, he's quite damaging as it is. You go down again. I mean, how can
Wolves that, especially went down when, three like, seasons on the trot. Remember, Swansea, I think, did a similar feat in the early 80s. Hyde can come back from it. They're having a lot of investment put in over the summer.
Because of the sport ownership, you've got a bit more of a solid base than you have had in the past. Last month, you mentioned the way Witten Albion got relegated.
Yeah.
And how they just kind of sneaked up on them.
I had a look, Easter last year, Witten went to Nantwich on Easter Monday, needing, in their calculation, a point to stay up. And they were 17th in the table, where Matt Lockhart now, we might come on to them in a minute, because they're in absolute free fall. And they still have 5 or 6 games left, like a lot of these teams, and they just thought, well, we only need one. They asked to get up to 50 points last year, they felt they needed 50. He didn't win another game.
Isn't it beneficial that they've dropped to this level now, 3 points from the relegation zone in March?
Could be, because I think there was a feeling at Witten, and I'm not speaking out of turn, that they'd done enough. Oh, we only need a point. And then they got hammered on the Easter Saturday, hammered on Easter Monday, lost the next game, and they never recovered. Because they felt the job was done, they took the foot off the gas.
And I'm just going to go to Roy, because I've been promising Roy. And then James, and then you at the end, as a causing point to Hyde.
What I would say is that if Spenner is out of that team, Hyde team, he's a big loss in, you know, over a 2-week period. What I will say again is that I've watched Hyde, you know, fairly regular over the last month or so, and the performances haven't always reflected the results. They should have done a lot better in the results and could have been safe now, in my opinion, if those performances had been put into the points bag. You've got him missing for 2 games, you know, Spenner, and the fact is, like, you know, at the end of the day, he's a really big loss for you.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, that could be a telling factor of maybe dragging you into a dogfight with the one team that's in that last position. So it just so happens, I don't believe that Mikulova will carry on this this two-game win, in my opinion anyway, because I think what they've done over the season basically sums them up.
I'm going to say, it's going to be very interesting because a lot of the bottom teams have got to play each other. Mm-hmm. And as we're recording this, there's two games actually going on tonight. And one of the results, I'm not going to be liking at this moment in time. Is it okay to say scores now? Or,
yeah, because at time of recording.
At time of recording, Stamford have actually just took the lead at Barwell. So it's just gone to half time. And coming back to Nantwich Town. I should have said this before with Nantwich, but they're also losing at the moment as well.
Everyone around this table throughout this season, while Marine have been down there, have pretty much said Marine will be fine.
They'll be fine.
Everyone still thinks Marine will be fine.
37 games against the 40 everywhere else. So they will be fine.
Yeah. I think Hyde will just about and be fine. Just, there,
and,
as
just,
will Marine.
And just a quick point, Matlock Town, the gap is currently, 7 points?
Ben, why even mention them?
Seven points?
Your holiday destination for another
year? In this instance.
Ben, forget it, they're fine. Ben, you're talking about teams that have no relevance. I mean, they're in that position where it's like...
Seven points in the relegation zone with teams below them who can win.
Ben, they're fine. Goodness gracious.
I don't know. They're in 3-4 and they could be thinking they're all right.
Wow.
The problem is, I think we've got that list now. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams and there's only one place? Because I think the bottom three are going to go. So Matlock have got margin for error, but they can't buy a win.
Just to say, I was trying to do Matlock a favour by getting you to agree with me that they were in trouble. Now you've said they're fine. I think
they're actually in serious trouble.
And is it?
No.
And my last attempt at being a TalkSport journalist, Ilkeston. And that concludes part number two. And last month we signed off Grantham Town. This month I think we should sign off Scam.
Yeah.
Well done, Skem. Thanks for joining us on the MPL show this season.
Grantham have been on a great run. Won 5 of the past 8, and they were in this fight last month. So we should say fair play.
Well, remember at the start of the season, and everyone was going, "Oh, Grantham will go down." And I said, "Don't be daft. We're far too good for that." And eventually,
before you do it, let me say goodbye to part two, and then you can go on your Thatcher rant. All right. So that concludes part two of the Evo Stick NPL show.
Nicholas Parsons, I hate Nicholas Parsons. He's not tremendous.
So that concludes part two of the Evo Stick NPL show for March. Coming up next is an advert, and then we'll be previewing this weekend's fixtures. Yay!
Ooh. Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some Sticks Like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks Like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Evo Stick NPL show for March. Round the table, we've got Roy Sewell. We've got James Hayes.
Evening.
We've got Swamper. We've got Andrew Simpson.
Hello.
We've got Ian Burke.
Hello.
No longer with us is Aaron Flanagan because he had to go to that London or something. I don't know. He's Hollywood nowadays.
Was he ever really here, though, Ben? That's a question.
He was here for the hide bit.
Doorstep,
right, anyway. So we're recording this on Wednesday. Obviously, there's been some results on Wednesday night and Thursday, which we're unable to give you.
Weren't they interesting results?
They were, Burke. They certainly were. We should say the Division 1 show is out this week as well, so we'll be covering all that as well.
North and South
for the whole thing.
Next season, are we doing an hour-long one of them? Just so I know.
James, you've been speaking on the MPL Facebook group and you've been seeking correspondence and you've got a bundle of responses, but what question have you asked?
In between all the argy-bargy, tonight I asked, coming towards season ends, who's got the best chance of going over the line, who's got the biggest relegation fears across all three divisions? Starting with George Rothwell, Hyde fan.
Hello, George.
We've got a battle in our hands at the bottom. Jonathan Wood, he's a Scarborough fan, but he's not actually mentioned in Scarborough this time. The two Harrogate Railway v Ossett Town derbies are going to be massive. Obviously, one of them took place last night, and we don't know the score. And I actually
is there a pun there? Masufid? What's that?
I have no idea. I think it's just.
It's what people say.
Is it? Is that what the kids say?
What the kids say,
isn't it? Yeah. Jonathan's got long hair, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Down the kids.
Yeah. Michael J. Holland, Marine fan. Very interesting next 3-4 weeks. Mickle over Whitby and Marine picking up points lately. Hiding oxygen sinking faster than that Titanic. Mark Joyce, brace yourselves.
I'm braced.
Liking, this is word for word. I am liking the look of the Battle of the Drop. The Bucks are playing some around them and are not a good record against the teams in the drop zone. Marine tomorrow night, big, well, as tomorrow night as in
Thursday.
Night.
Yeah.
Saturday, but Whitby at home. Warning to teams we are going for this top 10 finish, so don't expect a rollover.
In fairness, now that for Joycey.
That's very.
That's the first time any correspondent hasn't mentioned a football.
We've had two this year. We've had two this year.
That's the last one.
Two without football so far.
Yeah. The thing is, has he ever actually kicked one or headed one? Because they are the most beautiful cushioned balls.
Anyway,
back to this.
Go on.
Rob Wood, Warrington Town fan. Warrington Town are going to win the league title at Radcliffe Borough on April the 12th. You won it well before then.
Most people do, to be honest.
And then on Twitter from Mr. Ken Philburn of Ashton United, been there, done it, got the nerve, nailed on.
There you go.
Wow.
So that's your correspondence. Thanks for getting in touch. More from you next week, dear listener, on Evo Stick Extra. But it's now time to preview this weekend's fixtures in the league. As we said, we don't know the results from Wednesday and Thursday, so we're blagging it in many ways. But game of the weekend, it has to be, surely, Ashton United against Stourbridge.
Without any question.
Is proper, isn't it?
And I might have mentioned this before, Ben, but styles make fights, don't it? Ashton are very direct.
Can I just say, Ashton United fans knew what I meant there when I said it's massive, that, innit? It's going to be a significant game for the Stourbridge fans.
It certainly will, but the thing is, Ashton can afford to lose this. I'll just get a draw out of it. They don't have to win this game due to the amount of points that they've got in hand on Stourbridge. It's a bigger game for them, arguably, but it's going to be difficult for them. It really is. I can't pick a winner from that one. But I suppose, I don't know. I just don't know who's going to win now. I haven't got a clue.
Whoever wins,
it's going to be a good game.
Stourbridge have to win it though, don't they?
Pretty much have to. Especially after 2 weeks ago when they got beat 2-1 as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Big game for Ashton on Tuesday as well. Salford at home. Mm-hmm. So very important week for them.
Mm. I think I'll go to that one.
We'll be covering that one with Ben, you and me. We'll be covering that on Tuesday.
We could go to that, can't
we? Should we do a trip?
No, they've got the wrong radio station now. Next game, I think, which could be quite tricky, Darlington against Sutton Coldfield. Anyone fancy Sutton Coldfield?
Well, pulled out a couple of performances recently. Now, whether he can carry on doing that, I'm not quite sure. Darlington, I fear, a little bit too strong, and I think Darlington should win that game at home comfortably, in all fairness. And in fact, no, they will win that game comfortably. Yes.
They hobbled over the line against Hyde Sutton. I just don't see them.
4-0 to Darlington.
At the same time, Blythe Spartans are pretty much going the other way. They've got to travel to Ilkeston. And
you're queuing up to play Ilkeston at the moment.
Yeah. I was going to say,
they are rubbing their hands.
Go play in their youth team.
3 points.
Is this like a kind of, what's the word, a null and void weekend for the two teams up at the top, where nothing gets resolved at all?
It's down to attitude, and attitudes need to be right even when you're playing a team that you feel, you know, you are going to cakewalk. You know, at the end of the day, you've still got to put your effort in, get yourself motivated to go out and do the job, and the sooner, to be honest, the likes of Blythe and Darlington get into that mode, the sooner you'll find out who's going to actually win this division.
And also not that bad, you know. On its front, Ilson aren't that bad at the moment. All the losing games and all the fists, but they're a very young side, very reminiscent of Hyde at the moment as well. They've got a lot of talented players in there who can't maybe do it for the entire 90 minutes. I really like their goalkeeper, actually. Saw him on Saturday against Ashton. They lost 2-1. They made a decent fist of it in the second half. First half, they were overrun a little bit, but
yeah,
they're not that bad.
We'll stick with the top end of the table for now, but there is a couple of 6 points down the bottom end as well, which we'll cover in a second or two. But Salford City are hosting Grantham Town. That's, again, it's pretty much nailed on for Salford City.
No,
though,
it's not. Grantham beat Salford at Grantham, yeah. Remember? And that's when Salford were really flying away from home.
Burke, I do remember.
Oh, you led me down the garden path there.
No,
didn't
keep
you,
going though.
All right, I will. However, on this occasion, Salford will know what's going on with Grantham. They know that Grantham could beat any team on the day, but they can lose to any team on the day as well. Salford will be on the metal and they'll win that one by 2 goals.
Next up is an interesting fixture. Matlock Town against Workington. Now, it's winnable for Workington. But we're mentioning Matlock Town earlier.
I think Workington...
Just that high pitch squeal I'm going to do for
that one. It's a hard game. It's a hard game. You go to Matlock. It's a tough place to go to. And I've got a sneaky feeling that could end up a draw. Workington could actually...
So I was laughing because of all that build up, and it's like, so I'm going to say something remarkable here. I think it could be a draw.
I didn't say it was remarkable. Matlock will get some out of it, I think.
Okay. Let's go down to the bottom end of the table then. And, well, perhaps game of the day. Certainly Marine against Stamford. That's a big game, isn't it?
If the score stays as they are tonight, that's going to be massive for Stamford to be able to get out of that.
There's a bigger game the whole day. And the biggest game of the day from the bottom half of the table is, without a shadow of a doubt, Frickley versus Hyde.
It is.
And Hyde will get absolutely pummeled. And I'll tell you for why. Frickley, yeah. Because that pitch is so big, it's so wide. Frickley are playing some good football.
If the Giddies turn up as well in the crowd.
But that will be. And I fear for Hyde that day, because I think that could be one of their biggest tonkers of the season. Because Hyde at the moment, as we know, with the play, they're just not there. They've got a lot of young kids and some great kids, but at the same time, Frickley, you don't want to go. In any way, shape, or form. In fact, will you be there?
Yes, I will, actually.
Wow.
Sam Fitton will be leading the way for the Tigers. He'll be there in the middle of the park, and he'll be stepping up to play. He's the one player, I think, that the Tigers have got. He'll grab everybody by the collective scruffs of their collective necks and force them forward. He's only 19 years old, I think.
The thing is, you've never been there, have you?
It doesn't matter what the result is. Try the pie and the peas.
Oh, well, I've heard it's very good, actually.
It is, very good.
It's a great club. It's a great ground. Commentary-wise, you will absolutely adore it. It's stunning.
Elsewhere down that neck of the woods, we've got Buxton against Whitby Town.
Whitby can get a pot there, I reckon.
Whitby have kept 4 clean sheets in a row. They're making themselves hard to beat at the perfect moment in the season. I think they'll get something on Saturday as well.
I do.
Buxton are safe. They're everything to play for. They're going to really extend themselves. Perhaps not players thinking, well, we're okay. So they go out and enjoy themselves and play some football. They could win the game quite comfortably. But at the same time, Whitby has something to play for. So in that respect, you would suggest that Whitby have got the impetus. And yes, I'm using the word impetus at this stage of the evening.
No, it's amazing.
And I would hope for Whitby to get a result there.
Tonight's and tomorrow's results will decide if Whitby needs.
Well, yeah, of course, because we don't realise there's a lot of Thursday
like
results
said,
as well.
Like I said in the intro to this, we're blagging it, and everyone knows that.
There's a lot of Thursday results as well. We mentioned
Colwyn Bay being nailed on for relegation. Some people around the table did. Colwyn Bay this weekend are hosting Ramsbottom United in what surely has to be a 3-point banker.
It's a two-all draw.
What happens tonight?
Stop saying tonight. We're not mentioning it. You're ruining the magic of radio.
Ben, you know what? I think if Colwyn Bay don't win against Ramy on Saturday, they're gone. Yeah, they're gone. But if they do win, it's game on. We don't know what happens on Thursday night, do we, Ben? Because we're recording this on Wednesday night.
Stop saying it, Burke. Right, okay. So,
regardless, it's a draw. Roy want to say something.
Go on, Roy.
I think Vaughan will get his Ramsbottom team all organised as best he can, and I would say that Colwyn Bay's got a game on their hands, and if they don't have the right attitude, you know, to want to come out and compete for that safety net, then they've only got themselves to blame.
There's also Mickleover Sports against Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town with a squeak, maybe. Mickleover Sports, someone around the table earlier said this good run they're on can't continue for much longer. It's a tricky one, that one, to predict.
If they've got any idea of just, as I say, squeaking in there, that's a game, it's a must win game for them.
Yes.
If Nantwich get beat by Mickleover, Nantwich's dreams of playoffs are over. And let's not forget how they were up there all the way through the season. And the downside was that they were considered a lot of goals. They scored a lot of goals. An amazing, and we have to say, what an amazing season FA wise. Tremendous. They really have been absolutely superb, and they've been a great advert for Northern Premier League football.
Swampy, never mind Nantwich being, you know, whiz bang and all that. But what about how well the teams have done in general in the FA competitions, getting to, you know, Northwich Vicks getting to the second round,
for the end
of the Stourbridge getting to the second round.
That's the end of the season review. We're going to have a big sing song round a fire. It'd be great. That's the one, the week after.
I leave.
The playoff final.
Oh, you got a date now?
Officially, no, have you yet?
The week after the playoff final, we're doing it. That week.
Nantwich, if they've got, as I say, if they've got any real impetus of going forward and trying to get to that, they have to win that game. Yes. It's going to be a hard game to win, but that will be the assuming factor whether that they actually, we're talking next month going, oh, I'm not quite sure if they are.
If it's any consolation, by the way, that dude, someone, I'm tempted to do it live from 7 o'clock on the Friday. Just saying.
You are.
Because when you put a headset on Swamper, all of a sudden, it turns into Alan Green.
Yeah, they're always great. Yeah.
The feeling is out in Nantwich that I think after last season sort of maybe let down, this year they've surpassed themselves. And at one point, I mean, they weren't going too well, and then all of a sudden they hit full steam and then just started going into the Cups. The Cups, you know, took precedence. They ended up few games behind people, and it's been catch-up time. You know, obviously, you know, after the cup or the thrills of the cup games go, you're back to your bread and butter again. And it's been a little bit difficult for them to maybe accept that in the style of play, but that doesn't alter the fact that they've had the motivation and the willingness to want to get back to those dizzy heights.
And there's two other matches. I feel like Barwell are still in this.
No, you're the only one.
I'm the only one, okay. Skelmersdale United against Barwell.
Barwell win.
Barwell win. And lastly...
I want to bet on it. It's one of
them. No, no. And a bit of a local derby, this one. Hillsdale win against Rushall Olympic.
Weird tough game. They're both mid-table sides. Rushall, get ready for next season.
0-0.
There we go.
Hillsdale in a good nick. Run 4 to past 6. They will win on Saturday.
And on that note, taking advantage of Swampy leaving the table for a second, that is the end of... Oh, he's back.
What about Stamford?
We've covered Stamford.
Have you done Darlow v Sutton here?
Yeah. I've done it.
What about League Town?
The Division 1 show.
Oh, what about Stafford?
The Division 1 show is out this week as well on this very channel, and it's probably going to be out before this one. No, I'm closing it. I'm closing the show. Please let me close, then you can talk all you want. That is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for March. Thank you for joining us this month. It's been delightful. And thank you to Roy Sewell. Thank you to James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, which you can get in touch with and involved with and complain and have a bit of banter and row on.
Facebook.com/groups/NPL. On Twitter at the NPL group. And if you want to vote for the Supporters Player of the Year, you're too late.
It's closed. It's closed. Swamper.
Thank you very much, Ben. I've enjoyed it, Ben. It's been a really good show. All the way from Shanghai.
How is Shanghai, Swampy? Is that all right?
Shanghai?
Yeah, did they do Vimto? Andrew Simpson from the Manchester Guardian, thank you.
No worries.
And Ian Burke from Radio Manchester and the non-league show replaces Swampy. Doing an excellent job. Can I say that? Thank you.
No, cheers, man. Oh, before we go, one more thing. Just want to say, hope everyone gives Darren Mellett a good send-off tomorrow, so... Well, he's all best, everyone.
And before we go, we should also mention the Ghoul crowdfunder that started. So go to the Ghoul Twitter feed. That's for goalkeeper Jack Wheat. Yeah. And that is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for March. We'll be back next month with a live show from the Duton final. That's right. But from everyone here, goodbye.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.